Thank you. I really appreciate the worshipers. They really bless me. So, in fact, you're a worshiper. Just stand for a second if you would. Want to worship team? Yeah, worship team. Stand. Stand, everyone. You're... I want you guys to know I had a dream about y'all last night. Well, it was early this morning, really, but and we were up in worship, and I was down there worshiping, and all of a sudden you started playing that chimney sweep song from Mary Poppins, you know, Chim Chim Tree. I was getting a little bit concerned. Why are they doing that? So then, of course, I've had that song run through my head all morning. God, go away. I want to take this opportunity to welcome you all to our almost first meeting of the gathering. I say almost because we actually did this last week, kind of a dry run, sort of work out some of the bugs first. We still got a few more to work out, but anyway, thanks for being here. How many of you here for the first time? Go ahead, raise your hand. How many for the first time? Good. Thank you. And how many of you are here because you got my memo? You know, the car. Well, welcome. I want you to know that we still have a bunch of these cards in the back. So if, you know, you really enjoy the service, you know, grab a few and hang them out. You can hand them out to your friends. And, you know, if you didn't enjoy the service, well, then grab a few and hand them out to your enemies, you know, because... because those heathens, they really need to be in church anyway. Our objective here at the gathering is a fresh new sound in worship, a relevant message, coffee and donuts afterwards, and most importantly, that we would have genuine community together. Before I begin, I want to make some introductions, first starting with myself. My name is Michael Wagner, for those of you who don't know me. I'm not a full-time pastor, but I am fully committed to the gathering. I'm actually employed on base. I work at the U.S. Naval Test Pilot School. I have a lovely wife, Katrina, whom you met earlier. Katrina Wayne. And I have three children, ranging from the ages of 13 down to 3. My son Joshua is here right now. Joshua, go ahead and wave. Oh, that's right, I forgot. We're in that stage where we don't want to be identified. Katrina and I have been given overall responsibility for this thing we call the gathering. Now you may ask, well, by whom have we been given this responsibility? We've been given this responsibility by our senior pastor, Pastor Lanny Clark. And I was going to say, Pastor, would you stand? But he's otherwise. Oh, there he is. Everybody turn around and look right over there. So he is the man to whom we are submitted. We recently celebrated 25 years of leadership, of his leadership here at this church. So he has pretty much seen it all. But please, let's not put that statement to the test, okay? I also want to introduce some of the church staff. To my left is Tim and Molly Frank. Tim and Molly, would you just kind of stand, wave, say hey? Now, I know Marilyn Dickerson's not here. Is Val Hartwell here? Is she? No? Okay. All right. Finally, I want to introduce my team who have labored so hard over the spring and summer to make this gathering a reality. So for those of you who are involved in this, I'd ask that you'd all stand right now, please. Please stand, everyone. Good. All right. Now stand, Alexia. Turn around. Just get a good look at the faces. These are the folks who have committed their lives to you. If there's something in need, or if you're interested in serving in some capacity, those are the folks that you can talk to. And me too. I'll That'll be fine. I also want to introduce the tentative schedule of events. Veronica, can we put those up? Hey, how about that? Right on cue. All right, now, I say this is tentative because, you know, we never know exactly what the Lord's going to do or what to expect from Him, but, you know, sometimes we may want to do something that doesn't fit into our schedule, and you know what? That's okay because He's the boss. But in general, this is the way we'll be heading, and so that's that. Okay, you can turn that off. I should also point out that I will not be the teacher each week. It will not be me every week. I can't fit it into my schedule every single week. Expect to hear a different speaker each week speaking from a different perspective on a common theme. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. Okay, the vision of the gathering. I want to talk a little bit about this vision, but before I do, I want to call your attention to something. I have mentioned the gathering several times in the past few minutes, but I have yet to mention the church under which we operate, and that is the Patuxent River Assembly of God, or PRAG for short. If there's any doubt, we are a part of PRAG. We are just a fresh new expression of PRAG to the community. Katrine and I remain, as I mentioned, submitted to Pastor Clark and under his authority. Okay, the mission statement for the gathering. It is one growing and diverse family unified in Christ, seeking intimacy with God. This is who we are. This is our objective. It is the thing to which we aspire and the thing to which we will always be pointing you to. You can expect to see this statement everywhere. And my prayer for each of us is that we, one, learn it, two, know it, and three, live it. Now, number one should be relatively easy. You know, I mean, it's kind of a long mission statement, but it's not too bad, so it shouldn't be too hard to learn. One growing and diverse family unified in Christ, seeking intimacy with God. But to help you with number two a little bit, to know it a little bit better, I'm going to take some time this morning to kind of break it down a little bit and to go over this statement in a little bit more detail. And the first words I want to discuss are one family. The most common and regular expression of the gathering will be at the 9 a.m. service that you're currently sitting in. But for those of us who birthed this thing, the gathering is designed to be much more than simply a weekly service. It's designed to be a routine gathering of believers, to be an authentic community where we can grow up together in the Lord, to share with one another our ups and our downs, our highs and our lows, to share with one another our successes and our failures, to be with one another when we celebrate, and to be with one another when we mourn. To be there when my son gets inducted into the National Honor Society, and to call me to say, this is one of Pastor's favorite stories, to call me to say, hey, I just saw your son driving down Route 235, and man, was he flying. To be there for your three-year-old's birthday party, and to be there at 2 a.m. in the morning to watch your other children so that you can take your three-year-old off to the hospital. Am I making my point? The objective of the gathering is to walk out this thing together that we call life. We want to be a place where we are welcome to live with each other, warts and all. And I know some of us have lots of them. None of you, of course. All right, so that's one family. Let's take a look at the next phrase, growing and diverse. Now, you can put up the logo. Now, in this family, membership is not limited. Is it up? Excellent. Notice on that logo that there is no closed circle, that we are always reaching out for the next folks who are interested in coming alongside of us. It's always an open circle, and we're always looking to be growing. We don't care about your skin color or ethnic background or disability or financial situation. We do care about your sin, but only in the sense that we want you to live in freedom. As long as I have anything to say about it, this will be a safe, casual, come-as-you-are kind of place. I'm going to say that again because it bears repeating. As long as I have anything to say about it, this will be a safe, casual, come-as-you-are kind of place. It's a place that's welcome for all. And I'll say this, I am committed to each one of us living in freedom and victory so that each one of us can take our rightful place as an heir of God. Now, nothing is required for you to identify yourself with this community, this family we call the Gathering. You're welcome as you are. You're welcome to identify yourself with the Gathering right now if you wish. I will say this, however. You're probably thinking, uh-oh, here comes the catch. There will be two things that I will ask of you as we walk this out together. The first, I'm going to ask you to be available. And the second, I'm going to ask you to be teachable. Now, I'm going to discuss the concept of availability a little bit more in a few minutes. But for now, let me say it like this. Community is not community if we are not available for one another. And so being available for one another is an important part of a community of believers. The other idea is to be teachable, to be willing to learn from those who have been through that thing that you are currently going through. The other part of that, of course, is to be willing to teach someone who is going through something that you had gone through in the past. A community cannot continue if no one will learn and if no one will teach. Historically, do you know what one factor in society is important to the exponential growth of that society? It's libraries. A cheer from our librarian in the audience. Now, why is that? Because there is a world of knowledge available for people who are willing to learn. And those willing to learn benefit the society in which they live. And that's no different in the community of believers. If you're willing to learn, you're going to be a great blessing to the body of Christ. I like to think of Prague as a teaching hospital. It's a place where fallen, broken people are welcome, and where we are committed to seeing them get healthy. It's also a place where we're eager to teach you. We're eager to see you step out in faith as the Lord does some cool work through you so that you can get excited and we can get excited all with you. All right, so far we have one growing and diverse family. The next phrase is unified in Christ. All right, so what's this part all about? Make no mistake, the glue that binds us is our faith in Jesus Christ. Being, quote unquote, in Christ means that we have professed a faith in Jesus Christ and we have chosen to be his disciples. And that is all. It does not mean that we don't sin anymore. It does not mean that we don't make mistakes. It just means that we've accepted the good news about Jesus Christ. I'm sure you're all familiar with this verse. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I have the message here. The message is a contemporary rendering of the New Testament. And in the message, John 3:16 and 17 reads this way. "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life." God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Now this is what I call good news. Now, once we've accepted the gift of Jesus Christ, it means we are now part of the plan. God made each of us unique, and he made us to be in unity in the body of Christ. Now, unity is not deciding to live in peace. It is not. Unity is not deciding to live in agreement with one another. Being in unity is choosing to be a part of a complete and pleasing whole. To be a part of something bigger than yourself. In the case of being a Christian, it's choosing to be part of a body which is made up of fellow Christians. And I just lost my spot. Ah, there we go. So being unified in Christ means choosing to take your place as a part of that body of Christ in a position that only you can fill. That only you can fill. It means serving in a unique way. It means serving in a unique way that God designed you. He has made each one of us to be a special gift, to be a part of the body of Christ. Now, some of you may be thinking, no, not me. You know, there's nothing special about me. But let me encourage you in something. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one. Now, let me tell you, there's a couple of principles to understand here. First is that God don't make things twice. And second is that God don't make junk. Okay? So therefore, you are one unique, and be valuable, okay? So anything, if you hear anything else running through your head, then that's a lie. Because you're unique and you're valuable and necessary in the body of Christ. So then, if this is true, which it is, then you absolutely bring something unique and valuable. And we cannot afford to be without you. Understood? Everyone? Can't afford to be without any of you. We are eager for you to serve, but we're only eager for you to serve in a place that's life for you. Okay, so if you are a big toe, I don't want you serving as the eyes of the body. Okay? And if you are an ear, well, then I don't want you serving as the spleen of the body. I don't know what a spleen does, but I know that it's important. I'm eager to help you find your place in the body where you can go, ah, yes, this thing, this floats my boat. This is where I belong. Because if you are serving in that place that is life for you, then you will be blessed as you serve. And as you see that measure of grace being poured out through you. And by the way, just as importantly, the body will be blessed by your presence. Conversely, the body will be lessened by your absence if you choose not to serve, because part of the body will be missing. Earlier I talked about being available. And this is what I was talking about. Being available to take your rightful, God-given place in the body of Christ. We want you to be blessed by your presence. And we want you to be blessed by the Lord as you step out and you use your talents. Veronica, Tim, can you put it? Oh, man, they're all over that. Okay, so here are the here are some service admin ministries that we're always looking for folks who are interested in serving. You can go to the next slide. There's like 15 areas, I think. This is the ministry. The youth ministry and the worship ministry. Okay? Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, so this is unity. Working to take your rightful place in the body of Christ. All right, so far we have one growing and diverse family unified in Christ. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. The last part of the mission statement is seeking intimacy with God. If you plan to be around here for a while, you can expect that I will always be directing you to a genuine, intimate relationship with the Lord. And I mean seeking intimacy with the Lord on an individual, on an individual level. I'm eager for you to have that relationship. I'm eager for you to have the relationship with God that God wants to have with you. So just to be sure that we're all on the same page, what is intimacy anyway? What do we really mean by that word? Intimacy means to have a close and familiar friendship. Now, I want to ask each of you to close your eyes right now. Everybody close your eyes. Now, I want you to think of someone with whom you have or have had a close emotional relationship. It may be a spouse, maybe a parent, maybe an old friend. Okay, you have that person in mind? Okay, you can nod if you do. You can, with your eyes closed, you can do that. All right. Now, remember the consider the intimacy that you share or have shared with that person. Now, as intimate and as personal as that was, always remember that the God of the universe wants to have a more intimate, a more personal relationship with you. You can open your eyes. You see, when we came to the Lord and we chose to accept the gift of Jesus Christ, it was not supposed to end there. The Lord never intended for us to say, okay, I'm saved, I said the prayer. Now, where's that remote? The Daily Show is almost on. Right? Now, don't get me wrong, I don't have any problem with John Stewart, but God wants us to know Him much more deeply. I mean God, not John Stewart. God wants us to know Him much more deeply than any character that we know on TV. Imagine that one day there's a knock on your door. You go, you open the door, and there is the God of the universe standing there at the door. And He's got this big old package, big old present, gift wrap, man, it is looking good. And He hands it to you. Or at least He extends it out for you to take it. So you stand there and you consider it. You take it. And then wham, you slam the door right on His face and you go back to playing your PlayStation 2. All right. Now, such an image is preposterous. But that's what we do if we choose not to have an intimate relationship with Him. James 4:8 says this, come near to God and He will come near to you. Now, some of you may be wondering, I mean, if you think like I do, why do we have to make the first move anyway? You know, is God so insecure that we have to make the first move? But, of course, God has already made the first move. Remember that even when we were dead in our sin, even when we didn't want reconciliation with Him, He sent His only Son to be brutally beaten and tortured and to die so that if we believed in Him, that we wouldn't die, but we'd have everlasting life. He already moved. He's just waiting for us. Now, the reason that he doesn't keep moving toward us is because, well, he wants this relationship to last. We've all had friends and perhaps even romantic relationships in which they kept trying to move closer no matter what we did, you know, even if we're like, you know, they kept trying to move closer. It was like, you know, the geeky, unlikable kid down the street who was always sucking up to us, giving us things just so that we'd be their friend. We never respected someone like that, and ultimately, relationships like that, they never last. They'll never last, at least not as long as there's only one person who's trying to make the relationship work. And God knows this. A relationship requires two people who are fully committed to it. God made his move, and now he waits for us to make ours. Are we committed to this relationship or not? And if we are, then we move a little closer. Then he moves. And so on. Keeps waiting for us, making our move, and he'll move closer until we're fully engaged in an intimate relationship with one another. Let's consider a biblical example of intimacy with the Lord. How about David? Let's take a look at one of David's many psalms. Psalm 34, starting in verse 1, says this, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame." Now, does this sound like a man who has an intimate relationship with the Lord? And the thing is, Psalms is chock full of passages like this. David walked out life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He walked it all out with the Lord. And Acts 13:22 says this. The Lord said this of David. He said, "David was a man after my own heart." Now, how many of you know that this is a ringing endorsement to have the Lord say something about like that about us? I don't know about you, but I want to follow that example. Remember that if you're new in the Lord, or if you have never considered an intimate relationship with the Lord, it doesn't even have to be an intimate relationship at first. Just commit yourself to having a closer relationship with the Lord and pray to have the relationship with God that God wants to have with you. And I want to make one thing clearer too about this. Intimacy is not about being disciplined in prayer. It is not about that. I used to think that I needed more discipline in order to spend regular time with the Lord. Discipline, that's the thing. I need that. I would try all kinds of prayer techniques. I'd read books on how to pray. I'd set aside a certain time to go into my little hovel someplace and get on my knees and, you know. Ultimately, all those attempts ended in failure. And I became disgusted with my own prayerlessness, with my own lack of discipline. But now, I sit in a comfortable chair in front of my computer. I close my eyes. I relax. I try to put everything out of my mind. I quiet my mind. And then I just picture myself having a conversation with Jesus. Usually it's on the beach. It is. And you hear the waves crash and you hear the seagulls in the background. And we're just there having a conversation, sitting on the beach. And then I journal the conversation that we have in my computer. The point is, it's not about disciplining myself. It's about just having a relationship, having a dialogue with the Lord. I mean, you know, to be like disciplining myself, that'd be like saying, you know, I really have to discipline myself to spend time with my wife. I really have to discipline myself to have a conversation with her. And see, for me, that's not, you know, that's not a discipline. That's something I enjoy doing. I enjoy just going and just sitting and having a conversation. It doesn't require discipline. Aren't you happy to hear that, honey? Recently, I had an opportunity to have a nice, quiet moment with my wife. It was early in the morning. No one else was awake. It was really quiet, almost scary quiet. So I was really looking forward to just kind of, you know, laying and cuddling with my wife, you know, and just enjoying her before our three children woke up. And in all fairness to her, I didn't tell her that was my plan. That was just the one thing that I was hoping would happen, that we'd just, you know, hang out and cuddle for a while. But instead, my wife, she got up to go for her morning walk. She likes to do that, keep herself in shape. And so she went off for her morning walk. And, you know, I felt, you know, I was a little bit bothered by that. It hurt me a little bit. But then I realized this is probably how the Lord feels when I am up and out the door and on my way without so much as a hi, how are you? I'm just gone. So I really got convicted by that. The God of the universe wants to have a personal and intimate relationship with me. The God of the universe wants to have a personal and intimate relationship with each of you. But the choice is ours. So what's it going to be? So there we have it. That's the mission statement. One growing and diverse family, unified in Christ, seeking intimacy with God. Now, over the next several weeks, you can expect to hear from real people with real problems who will be standing before you from this pulpit. And their message is going to be on the general theme of hope. Now, you may or you may not have, you know, significant problems in your life, but regardless of your situation, hope is one of the aspects of the gospel that is there for us who have received Jesus Christ. It is a part of our inheritance. There are so many excellent facets to the gospel, and we'll be touching on them, you know, in the months to come. But for the next few weeks, we're going to be sticking on the general theme of hope. Freedom and victory is meant for all of us, as it says in Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This offers hope. And the people who will stand before you in the coming weeks, including myself, by the way, we're going to speak about real situations. And they are a testament of the love of God and the freedom and victory that can be had by walking it out with Him. Please stand. Each week as we conclude, we invite people to come forward to the altar, if they wish, where we will have ministers available to serve them. Get your ministers up right now, Peggy. I appreciate it. The altar is open for all. If there is something going on particular in your life that you'd like some prayer for, then I want you to come. This morning I want to extend a couple of invitations, a couple of specific invitations. First, if you have never received Jesus Christ into your life, but today you're ready to accept that gift of Jesus Christ and take your rightful place in the body of Christ, I'm going to invite you to come, and come on over here to my left if you would. Do we have, where's Ernie? By the way, if you're not ready to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, but you do want to talk a little bit more about it, well then also come to my left. Nobody's going to beat you up or anything. It'll be okay. Second, Maybe you've accepted the gift of Jesus Christ, but then you went right back to what you'd always done, you know, right back to the remote. Or maybe you never really considered establishing a relationship with Him. Or maybe you walked it out with Him, but recently, maybe not so much. And you're willing to recommit that walk with the Lord. I want you to come forward as well. Finally, I'm going to ask this. Who here is in physical pain? Okay. Physical pain. Anyone else? I got four, five. Okay. Six. I want you, seven. If you're in physical pain, we believe that the God of the universe wants to touch you and wants to heal you. So we would invite you to come forward as well so that we can have some ministers to stand with you and pray over this thing. Get after this thing that's causing your physical infirmity. Now, we also believe that we have a Lord who does emotional healing as well. And so if there's something that's going on with you that, you know, is just has just been bugging you, it's just really causing you pain, not physical, but emotional pain, then we invite you to come as well. So please start making, if any of these things speak to you, I'd ask that you start making your way forward at this time. Now, downstairs, we have a hospitality area. There's coffee, donuts, and other things to get you all pumped up for the rest of the day. So we invite you, particularly if you're new, but we invite all of you, to come on down. It's downstairs in the sunroom. We invite you to come down and join us and just hang out and talk for a little while. Okay? Thank you. Oh, one last thing. If you're coming for ministry, you come forward this way. And if you would like, you can go back that way and head down to the sunroom at this time. You are dismissed. Please make sure that you bring all your belongings with you down to the sunroom because we're getting ready for the next service. So bring all your belongings with you.